Just want to wish each and everyone a happy Sabbath. I'm so glad that you decided to spend this Sabbath day here together with your brothers and sisters. And God is always good. And he is the one who deserves our praises and honor and worship for all the wonderful things he has done in our life. And not only that he had done, he is still doing it and he will do it. And so be always ready, because God, as long as you have breath in your body, God is still using you. So we do have to be always ready. As most of you know, we are in a beginning part of our health series. And this is the second part of the introduction. It's None of the Disease Part 2. On the first presentation, we already discussed why do we need to live up to the standard God calls us to live up. He has presented us with a standard for our living, how we need to live. And he gave us statutes and laws and guidance. And they come in different ways. One, it's moral law. Another one, it's civil law, ceremonial law. And also, he gave us the health laws. And these laws are valid for each and every one of his children who live in the world history. No matter what time of the history we are living on, God's laws are for God's people. That's the only exception out of these laws, the ceremonial, the moral law, the civil law, the ceremonial and health law. The only exception is the ceremonial law. The ceremonial law was pointing to Jesus. All the sacrifices that were in the sanctuary, everything was pointing to Jesus. And when Jesus came, he fulfilled them. But nevertheless, if you're looking at the ceremonial law, we still have a lot of things to learn about God's love and his care for us. If we take time to really see what is behind all those sacrifices, we can see God's love. The only problem is, and we were talking last time when we were talking about this, we do agree, you know, the moral law, the Ten Commandments, are still valid today. You know, the civil law, how to behave one to another, is still valid today. The only problem sometimes we have is the health law, because we don't see them as binding as the other ones. And, you know, we said, oh, it's not as bad. But we do have to remember that it's God's law. It's one of the God's laws. And the health law has been kind of put down, neglected for a long time. And we do need to keep in mind that God gives us this law because he cares for us. He loves us. And he wants the best of us. He wants to be in the best health possible. That's why the focus we're going to have, it's about God's health laws and why we need to keep them. And we discussed last time that the first reason we do need to keep God's law is because God is love. He gives these laws because he loves us. He gave them for our benefit. He didn't give them just because he wanted to. He gave us because it benefited us. Do you remember the first promise that was given to the children of Israel? So the first promise God gave to Israel once they left the Egyptian slavery, it's in Exodus 15:26. And as you see, it says, if you would diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, thy God, and will to do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptian, for I am the Lord that healed thee. We did talk a lot to length last time about what about this promise, and just wanted to show you that, you know, we do still need, you know, this promise is conditional. It happens to us if we listen, you know? So he says, if you will do this, God will do this. So if we want to be healthy, we have to follow what God is telling us here, because that's what he says. And this promise is of value to us, not only because we are God's people, but remember, we are the same, you know, we are in the same situation like Israel. We are saved from the slavery of sin. We are free from the slavery of sin. And that's the first promise God gives to his people when he frees them. And that's the promise he gives to us when he frees us from the sin and for the problems that happened. The second reason we are talking, we agree that we do need to keep God's law is because we love God. You know, first it's God loving us, then we love God. And many times, you know, and sadly, at this time in the human history, the human race has been affected by sin more than we wanted to believe, to know. And many times we do say we love God. And I don't know if there is anybody here who says, no, I don't love God. We do profess that we love God. But how do we know we love God? The next text we studied last time was 1 John 5:3, and that's the test. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. In the moment God's law become grievous to us, it's hard to keep, it's because it cuts across our human inclination, cuts across our self, and we put ourself above God. And that may it's a problem, because in that moment we don't love God, we love ourselves as much that we ignore God's laws. And the next thought we are talking about is we do need to remember that obedience without love is no obedience at all, and also there is no love without obedience. Love, obedience go hand in hand. Now, this was the first kind of overview of the what we talked last time. At this moment, I would like to start our lecture, and I invite to make our profession. That's why I invite you to take your Bible and stand up with me and say, this is my Bible. I believe it to be the word of the living God. And I covenant with him that I will study every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are coming before your throne of grace to put this testimony before you, that we want to be like you. And we know that we only become like you when we follow what your written word, what you tell us to do. Lord, at this moment, we invite your presence to be here among us. Guide our this presentation, Lord. Help that our hearts will be impressed by your Holy Spirit, and we will be able to not only listen, but to apply it in our lives. Lord, I would like to ask you to continue to use me as your speaker. And Lord, I don't want to be seen, but I want you to be seen. Hide me behind the cross and behind your word, and help me to speak your words, and help me to bring understanding to the message that you have for us. Bless us as we are here before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we have come to the third reason. If the first one, God loved us. Second one, we love God. The third reason is why we should keep God's law is because we are God's creation. God is our creator. His power of over creation goes further than what we think, because he not only brought us into existence, but he continued to sustain us and continue to reproduce in our and not only to just to recreate in us the image that was lost through sin. I would like to go over to this beautiful text that it talks very clearly about God's creative power. Genesis 2, 26 to 27, it says, "And God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over all creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female he created them." What a wonderful thought. When God created us, he created us in a special way. Notice in verse 26, it says, "Let us make man," which means that he had a plan. We are not just happen to be, he had a plan, "Let us make man." And also he had a design. You know, when if you go further, he says, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." So we are created as in God's likeness. In Genesis 2:7, it goes further to explain, and it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." See, when God created man, he not only spoke us into existence, said, "Let the man be," like he did with everything else, you know, because if you read until this point, everything came out by the word of the Lord. In a way, he get his hands dirty when he created us. He took dust, he put it together, and he formed the most beautiful creature ever, like nothing else. And he did not stop there of creating this beautiful creature. He bent down, touched the human form, and breathed in through their nostril the breath of life. We are brought into existence because of the touch of God. And we have to remember that. The inspired word says, "Man was the crowning act of the creation of God, made in the image of God, and designed to be a counterpart of God." Can you imagine that? A counterpart of God. So we are created to work together with God. Man, it's very dear to God because he was formed in his own image. As Adam came forth from the hand of his creator, he was of noble height and of beautiful symmetry. He was more than twice as tall as men now living upon the earth and was well proportioned. His features were perfect and beautiful. His complexion was neither white nor shallow, but ruddy, glowing with rich tint of health. Eve was not quite as tall as Adam. Her head reached a little above his shoulders. She too was noble, perfect in symmetry, and very beautiful. Man came from the hand of God, perfect in every faculty of mind and body, in perfect soundness, therefore in perfect health. Created to be the image and glory of God, Adam and Eve had received endowments not unworthy of their high destiny. I like this passage says, "receive endowments not unworthy of their high destiny." I like the way she put it. Graceful and symmetrical in form, regular and beautiful in feature, their countenance glowing with a tint of health and the light of joy and hope, they bore the outward resemblance, the likeness of their maker. What a beautiful description. And that was before the sin entered this world. Now, after the sin had marred God's image in us, even though sin had marred the image of God in us, we still bear his resemblance. There is still a trace of God in the way we are still come to live now. Our bodies are wonderfully made. If we take time to study it. And the scientists of today, they are still, when they are studying the body, they are discovering new and new things, and so many things are a mystery to them. They cannot understand how the brain functions, how the heart, how everything works so beautiful together. So we cannot help but saying, as David say in our passage that was our scripture for today, "For thou hast possessed my reign, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul know it right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and I curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth." That's so, you know, it's so such so much poetry, so beautiful the way he described these things. "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." What a beautiful description of the creation. We are indeed fearfully and wonderfully made. We are. And we are limited in our understanding of how the body works, or how everything works. Inspired passage says, "The mechanism of the human body cannot be fully understood. It presents mystery that baffles the most intelligent. It is not as the result of a mechanism which, once set in motion, continues its work, that the pulse beats and the breaths follow breath. The beating heart, the throbbing pulse, every nerve and muscle in the living organism is kept in order and activity by the power of an ever-present God. See, God did not create us and let it be. He is still involved in everything we do. The creator of man has arranged the living machinery of our bodies. Every function is wonderfully and wisely made. And God had pledged himself to keep this human machinery in healthful action if the human law governing the human machinery is to be considered just as truly divine in origin, in character, and importance as the Word of God. Every careless, inattentive action, any abuse put upon the Lord's wonderful mechanism by disregarding his specified laws in the human habitation, it's a violation of God's law. We may behold and admire the work of God in the natural world, but the human habitation is the most wonderful. Do you see, we do have a responsibility how we treat, how we take care of our bodies. And if you look throughout the scripture, we're going to come to agreement that God is the one that created us. Why is important to us, when it comes to the laws of health, to know that God is our creator? He is not only our creator, but he is our designer. He had the blueprint of our body ready before we realize who we are and what we are doing in this world. He knows us better than anyone else, even ourselves. He knows what is good for us and what is not good. He knows how our body functions, and he graciously shared this knowledge with us. He didn't keep it for himself. He told us how we need to take care of our bodies. Just a limited understanding of how our body, how wonderful it is, will lead us to exclaim with David, "For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works." However, God gives us the gift of taking care of the body, that He has made it for us. He created us and He allows us to manage it. In order to get better, to understand this concept better, I will share an illustration. Now, did any one of you know what this car is? Does anybody know? No, okay. Okay, this is my husband's favorite car. Okay. Why do I say that? Well, first, this car has been in our possession for the longest I remember. We lived in South Carolina for about 9 years. And if you know anything about us, you know that we change cars, very often. We change it so often that I don't remember how many cars we already have since we are here. But not with this car. This car, we had it long. If I remember correctly, that was the car you took me on a first date? Yep. So he had it way before we got married. So he had it for a long time. Personally, I believe that he has a very strong emotional attachment to it. Because he doesn't want to get rid of the car. He refuses to part with the car. No matter how much I try to convince him, a couple of years ago, we came that close to get rid of the car. But him and his brother worked their magic, and the car is running like new. Now, you do need to notice the missing headlight and the spots on the trunk, on the car, and also on the siding of the car that's missing. What you don't see is the white trunk cover, okay? It does look beat up, doesn't it? Let me proudly introduce you to a 1995 Volkswagen Jetta. TDI stick shift, very important to remember. 98? It says on the thing, it says 95. Okay, 98. Now, in 1998, when it came from the German factory or Mexican factory, this car was perfect, was beautiful, running well, and it had a manual. After about less than 20 years, we still have the manual, believe it or not. Now, when we buy a car, I don't know how many of us take time and read the manual to see, we take for granted that we know how to drive the car, we know what we need to do, which pedal to press, how to start it and turn it off. We do assume that we know a lot of things. However, the manual has a purpose. It has a purpose. It's telling us, you need to take care of the car in order to get it to the highest potential, when to change the gas, how fast you need to go to get a better mileage, what kind of gas you need to put in, and then maintenance, when is the maintenance. All these are in the manual. Maybe we don't take time to read it, but it's there. And we should read it. We should read it because we know if we follow all, we know that the car is going to get the best out of it. Now, this car, for example, has a diesel engine, okay? And what will happen if I accidentally put in gasoline instead of diesel fuel? Know that it happened to this car, but Robert can tell you it stops, dead stops on I-95. It doesn't move until you clean up, realize what happened, clean up the fuel, and then put the right fuel in and pray to start. And if it starts, you praise God because it started again. Okay, that's what happened to the car. That's what can happen to the car. If you put the wrong fuel, the car may not work. It's going to stop. That may be a lesson for us. The same principle applies to our bodies. In a simplistic way, we were talking how wonderful, how complex our body is. But, when we compare with a car, our bodies are many, many, many more times more complex than a car is. But in a simplistic way, when we liken our bodies with a car, and we think, who is going to drive the car? Who is the driver of the car? Who is the owner of the car? God put in our you know, God endowed us, the human being, with consciousness. So we make right decisions or on how to drive or how to use the body God gives us. We are the ones. And we are put in charge to manage this wonderful machinery that is our human body. 1 Corinthians 3:16 to 17 takes it to a slightly different level, the way this concept of how we manage the car. It says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." So who is the temple of God? Our body, our bodies. Who is the one that manages? We are the one that is in charge. And look how severe the, you know, if, it says, if a man defile the temple of God, him God shall destroy. We are not only God's creation. So we are created by God, but at the same time, we are the temple, a dwelling place for the Spirit of God. You know, that's what is going to bring the resemblance of God. And we are the one that we need to manage what God put in our charge. So if we compare our body with a car and the driver is our consciousness, we do have a manual. Do you know that? We do have a God in his word told us how we better take care of this body, how we better manage it. So in his word, he puts direct instructions on how to take care. And like we were talking before, the manual, when we get a new car and have a manual, I don't know how many of us reading the manual. In the same way, many times we ignore this manual and we put it on the side and we think, oh yeah, I know how to manage my body, you know, it's my body, so I know how to manage it. But we don't know it, because it's the God who made it, God designed it, and he tells us how to manage it. And unlike a car that, you know, it broke down and you can go and buy a new one, you only have one single body. We don't have more than one. So that we have to manage it very well. Now, I was telling you, you know, God in his word tells us how to take care of this body. For example, he is telling us what kind of fuel to use. And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of the tree of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." Okay? And that was before the sin entered the world. Then in Genesis 3:18, our second part of the verse says, "And you shall eat the herb of the field." So he adds as our needs are. Also, he is telling us how and when to rest. You know, he's not only tell us what kind of fuel we need to use, but he tell us when to rest, that rest is important. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day for all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God had created and made. In the same way, we do need to follow God's example and rest. Also, he tells us about physical activity and exercise. See, in Genesis 2:16 says, "And God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. He didn't make the man to be idle. He made it to take care of the garden and keep it." At the same time, he's telling us the importance of water. You know, when in the Genesis 2:10 and up to the verse 14, there was a river went out of the Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and become into four heads. In each verse it's telling you different heads of the river. So water it was there. See, God is taking care and giving us all the direction we needed. Another one, clean air. You know, God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and he put the man whom he had formed in it. So he is taking us, telling us where and how best to take care of our bodies. And this, the list can go on. If we go throughout the Bible, we can see where God and how God is telling us to take care of our body. And God is not only our creator, and we have talked to a great length about him being a creator. He is the restorer of our health. The presence of sin in many times our choices, willing or unwilling, can affect our body with sickness and can cause suffering and pain. Going back to the analogy of the car, how many times do you think we can put the wrong fuel in the car and the car will still work? One time? Two times? Three times? Okay, it'll be a miracle if we do it five times. But how about our bodies? How many times we put the wrong fuel in our bodies and we expect them to function the best? And the good news is that even though we make, many times we make wrong choices, God is has created our bodies very resilient. They are very, very strong and taking a lot of abuse. That doesn't mean we have to subject them to abuse, but they can take a lot. And even though we abuse them a lot, and they can take a lot, it comes a time when the body gives up. There is a time when the body gives out. And realizing that that is not God's plan for our lives, we do need to slow down, to remember, and go back to the manual to study how God wants us to live. The inspired writer is telling us, the Savior, in his miracle, revealed the power that is continually at working in man's behalf to sustain and to heal him. Through the agencies of nature, God is working day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, to keep us alive, to build up and restore us. When any part of the body sustains injury, a healing process it at once begun. Nature's agencies are set at work to restore soundness, but the power working through this agency is the power of God. All life-giving powers are from him, is from him. When one recovers from disease, it is God who restores him. The words spoken to Israel are true today of those who recover health of body or health of soul. I am the Lord that healed thee. The desire of God for every human being is expressed in the words, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospered. Pure air, sunlight, abstentions, rest, exercise, proper diet, the use of water, trust in divine power, these are true remedies. The resilience of human body is nothing short of amazing. Lungs can recover after someone quit smoking. And probably you have heard of people living with one kidney or half of the lung or half of the liver or many other missing parts in the body. We have heard of this. And also, we are so many diseases, lifestyle diseases that can be reversed if a healthy lifestyle is adopted, like high blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, just to name a few. God has indeed created a marvelous piece of art when he created human body, but we are responsible how we take care of this beautiful piece of God's creation. Ellen White continued to say, man came from the hand of God, perfect in every faculty of mind and body, in perfect soundness, therefore in perfect health. God endowed man with great vital force that he has withstood the accumulation of disease brought upon the race in consequences of perverted habits and has continued for 6,000 years. If Adam at his creation had not been endowed with 20 times as much vital force as men now have, the race, with their present habits of living in violation of natural law, would have become extinct. What a powerful statement there. Considering, did you catch this? You know, considering the trajectory we are on regarding our health habits, we should cease to exist in a very short time because of our choices. But God's love is manifested in the way he created us, and also in the way he sustained us and restoring us. And we should be grateful because he had created us the way he created us. I believe that is now it's about the fourth time for the time for to discuss about the fourth reason. I was planning to do it more in to put more in a presentation, but every time it's getting so long, so I have to. The fourth reason we are to be interested in health and keeping health law. I do remember not long ago, Pastor Loma Kang was on one of the Anchors of Truth presentation, and he says, "Educate, educate, educate." We as Seventh-day Adventists, we should be known as people of the book, people who want to know, people who want to learn, to do the best. And this is the characteristic of the God's people throughout the ages. If you're looking at Adam, he was learning at the feet of God in the Garden of Eden. God was teaching him. If you take time to read the Bibles, itself says that it's a teaching tool. In 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and truly equipped for every good work. So the instructions, you know, the doctrine, the scripture, it's good for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction for a certain reason. The man of God be complete and truly equipped for every good work. If also Jesus is telling us, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. As God's people, we should do all this. We should ask, we should seek, we should knock, we should try to find out as much as we can. God's people are not ignorant. They wanted to know, they wanted to study. People of Israel were instructed, and sometimes they did not learn. We should learn from their history. They didn't learn, even though God spoke directly to them, even though he sent them messengers. And when you're thinking about throughout the sacred history, Jesus taught from 12 to 120 disciples. He taught multitudes on numerous occasions, and sometimes it can went hours, even days on a row. And when you're thinking about Peter, Paul, and other disciples, they quickly turn as teachers once the Holy Spirit used them. God's people had and always will be students and then teachers. What we learn, we need to share. Our learning will never cease. And the Inspired writer says, heaven is a school, and what we know what we do in a school. We all learn. Its field of study, the universe. Its teacher, the infinite one. There, when the veil that darkens our vision shall be removed, and our eyes shall behold the world of beauty of which we now catch glimpses through microscope, when we look on the glories of heaven now scan afar through the telescope, when the bright blight of sin removed, the whole earth shall appear in the beauty of our Lord, of the Lord our God. What a field will be open to our study. There, the student of science may read the records of creation and discern no reminders of the law of evil. He may listen to the music of nature's voices and detect no note of wailing or undertone of sorrow. In all created things, he may trace one handwriting. In the vast universe, behold God's name writ large, and not in earth or sea or sky one sign of ill remaining. There will be open to the students history of infinite scope and of wealth inexpressible. Here, from the vantage ground of God's word, the student is afforded a view of the vast fields of history and may gain some knowledge of the principalities that govern the course of human events. But his vision is still clouded and his knowledge incomplete. Not until he stands in the light of eternity will he see all things clearly. Our knowledge, our learning is not going to stop here. We should study, we should learn, but it's only preparance for what is going to be in heaven. And there is a great need for us to know. There is, especially about the health, you know, many times we neglect it, put it on the side burner, but it's very important. Remember, we are God's creation, we are his temple, and we have a responsibility. Ellen White continues saying, Christ has been the guide and teacher of ancient Israel, and he taught them that health is the reward of obedience to the laws of God. The great physician who healed the sick in Palestine had spoken to his people from the pillar of cloud, telling them that they must, what they must do and what God would do for them. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, he said, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healed thee. That was the text that we studied last time. When they fulfilled the condition, the promise was verified to them. There was not one feeble person among their tribes. God is faithful. This is what we were talking earlier. And again, she says, it is not only the privilege, but the sacred duty of all to understand the law God has established in their beings. And as they more fully understand the human body, they will seek to bring their bodies into subjection to the noble powers of the mind. The body will be regarded by them as a wonderful structure formed by the infinite designer and given in their charge to keep this harp of a thousand strings in harmonious action. To make a success of Christian life, the development of sound minds in sound bodies is of great importance. The harmonious, healthy action of all the powers of body and mind results in happiness. The more elevated and refined the powers, the more pure and unallowed the happiness. Do we want to be happy? Here is the recipe. Choosing not to know, in a world, choosing to be to be ignorant is not a characteristic of God's people. His people has always wanted to know the truth and to follow it. We stand as God's ambassadors in this world, and we do need to present him just as he is, our loving God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer. I would like to close with reading this passage, which is, and it's taken from My Life Today, page 154. And it says, "Let the mind become intelligent, and the will be placed on the Lord's side, and there will be a wonderful improvement in physical health. Sickness of mind prevails everywhere. 9/10 of the diseases from which men suffer have their foundation here. The religion of Christ is one of its most effectual remedies, for it is a potent soother of nerves. Heaven, it's all health. And the more deeply heavenly influences are realized, the more sure will be the recovery. Godliness does not conflict with the laws of health, but is in harmony with them. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of all real prosperity. We should cooperate with God in the care of our bodies. Love for God is essential for life and health. Faith in God is essential for health. In order to have perfect health, our hearts must be filled with love and hope and joy in the Lord. My prayer for us is that the Lord will help us to keep this thought with us. In order to have perfect health, our hearts must be filled with love and hope and joy in the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are coming with grateful hearts before your throne of grace, Lord, because you have indeed wonderfully made us. Thank you for your grace that is sustaining us, and also for the fact that you are the one that restores us. Lord, we depend on you for each and every breath we take. We depend on you to be healthy. But Lord, we want to ask you for power to obey you, to know what we need to do in order to keep this, your temple, our bodies, the temple where you live in, to keep them pure and clean and in good health. And we want to ask you to continue to give us wisdom, to continue to give us help in overcoming all the things we are dealing with in our life. And we also pray that the Lord will bless us and keep you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.